We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Rates.
Thank you. Once again, it's My Music. Once again, we offer two teams locked in mortal apathy. John Amis and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Some music first heard in the year 1910. That was the year of the Firebird, of Elgar's violin concerto, Naughty Marietta, and, John Amis, this fanfare. Commanding start. What is it, John?
Well, you know, when I was married, that used to be our signature tune, because so many people around Waterloo Station used to go ta-da-da-dum, that I used to whistle this when, and my wife then knew I was about. It's from Le Coq d'Or,
yes,
The Golden Cockerel by Rimsky-Korsakov.
That is absolutely right. That's what it's from, the start. Frank, from music first heard in 1910 to a pianist who was born in 1910. Question is, which tune is he playing, or which tune did he start out playing? Lovely idea, up and down the keys like that.
Marvellously, yes. Exuberant. That's playing. Right. It's Tifa too.
Yes.
And Art Tatum.
Art Tatum.
The marvellous name, Art Tatum,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
it's sort of Latin eight, isn't it? One thinks of, and now the choir will sing Vaughan Williams' arrangement of Purcell's Art Tatum.
Well, Tatum, actually, was the name of one of Purcell's librettis. That's presumably why you got it.
Anyway, Art Tatum, Frank's absolutely right, Art Tatum's Tea for Two. Permit me to mention, since we're talking about tea, a nice letter from Mrs. Ethel Hamer of Pinner in Middlesex, who recalls being puzzled as a little girl by the line from a hymn which went, "We are weak, but tea is strong." Ian, your turn. Your music, like John Amis's, starts with a fanfare. Who's what, where and when, and are you on stage?
No, very nearly. Yes. That's great, great nostalgia for me. That's the beginning of the second act of La Bohème, which was the very first opera I ever sang in. Brings back my first introduction to that wonderful breed of person known as a repetiteur in opera. This was a man, alas, no longer with us, by the name of George Coop.
A rehearsal pianist, one
yes,
would say.
Yes, who was an Italian, and who was one of the most wonderful prompters, also, that used to prompt at the Royal Opera House. And he could sit at a piano, always smoking cigarettes in a very long holder in clouds of smoke, and just open that music for that fanfare at the beginning of the second act for a stage rehearsal, and just start... Pum, 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 and putting in, making the piano sound as they all did, like an orchestra.
Yes, and condensing, really, the whole orchestra part to just two hymns.
Wonderful, wonderful people, or opera repetiteurs.
Yeah. A La Bohème question for Dennis Norton. Dennis, listen. Dennis, what can you tell me about Mimi's hand?
What I can tell you about Mimi's hand is that it was rather small and it was very freezing.
Yeah. You do know about opera, after all. Yeah. Let's move on. Around about songs, popular tunes, some of them verging on the traditional. John, I looked up a very familiar tune in a reference book, and I found it variously referred to there under the titles of Hula Hula, The Dance of the Midway, The Coochie Coochie Polka, Danse du Ventre, and The Streets of Cairo. How does the tune go? Can you hum it?
Does it come from the ballet Egyptien?
No, it doesn't.
Well, then I'm not going to hum it, because I know it'll be wrong.
Frank, could you make a guess at how that tune goes? Streets of Cairo, Coochie Coochie Polka...
It's not.
No, it's na 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 na.
That's the other one.
Yes, that's right, the other one. It's the Shades of Wilson, Keppel and Betty in there. I can't give you the mark for that, though, can I? Frank, what were the Sons of Toil and Danger first asked in New York City on September the 21st, 1925?
Sons of toil and danger, would you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy?
Yes, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da is one of the few little fill-in phrases that are really well known in music. There's a lovely one in People Will... I'll show you on the piano. People Say We're in Love. And then it goes... And that's almost as well known as the rest of the tune. Ian... Someone to whom you have reason to be grateful, actually, was born in Somerset in 1848, became a lawyer in Bristol, a tutor at Oxford, the author of books on logic, and died in London in either 1929 or 1933, according to which reference book you happen to have to hand.
Oh, my
goodness. Any idea who he was?
Somebody to whom I have got reason to be grateful.
Yes, in a sort of professional sense.
In other words, somebody who wrote the sort of songs that I sing.
He didn't write music so much as words.
Oh, oh dear, because I was going to think of somebody like Wilfred Sanderson or J.
Well, you're doing
Gilly
very
Dix.
Well, very well. Press on with a few names like Sanderson.
And Lane Wilson. Well, that's not a name like Sanderson, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean like... of the same period and style. I don't...
Period and style.
Yes.
Not J.L. Hatton. No, he was a bit earlier, wasn't he?
No.
Simon the Cellarer and all that lot.
Well, half mark, I'll tell you, he wrote the words of Danny Boy, Roses of Picardy, all sorts of songs like that. Shall we see if anybody in the audience knows his name? Anybody know? Right, I'll have
Jimmy
to tell
Kennedy.
You. No, much earlier than Jimmy Kennedy. Fred Weatherly.
Oh. Yes.
Fred Weatherly it was.
Yes.
Yeah. No marks there.
I said, oh, very unconvincingly there as well.
Dennis, who camped by what, under the shade of what, while what was boiling?
all that for one mark.
Yes. Once a jolly... Let me help you.
Once a jolly swag man camped by a billabong
under the shade of a
coolibar tree.
And he sang as he watched and waited till his...
Billy boiled.
Will come a waltzing...
With me.
What?
That's a mark, all right.
Yes, good for you. I'm going to play you on the piano a bit out of the middle of something and ask you simply what it is. They're all, as it happens, second lines. John, here's a second line. Second line of what?
Oh, that's old Vaughan Williams, isn't it?
Yes. From the...
Serenade to Music.
Yes, it's Here Will We Sit and Let the Sounds of Music. Second line of How Sweet, etc. Yeah. Frank, no singing, please. Just the name of the song, which has this...
That's what the taxi driver said to me yesterday. He said, no. You can come in, but as long as you don't sing.
So, as I said, no singing. The name of the song, please, Frank, that has this as a second line.
Honeysuckle and the bee.
Yeah, thank you. A mark to you. Let's break all the rules, shall we, and get the audience and the whole cast to sing a chorus of The Honeysuckle and the Bee. Okay?
You are my honey, honeysuckle. I am the bee. I'd like to sip the honeysuckle.
applauding yourselves, aren't you, out there? So, yes, lovely old song, I think. Ian, this is the second line, but not of a song you've ever sung. Listen carefully, it's rather short.
No, I have never sung that.
No.
I remember many, many years ago agreeing to do a charity concert in a rather remote part of Scotland. And I was the only professional in this particular concert. And it was a local concert party. And I was in the dressing room while some of the others were on. And there was a pile of music which the soprano had bought. And that song was at the top. They Call Me Mimi from Boheme. And I was sort of, it was very naughty of me, but I was sort of idly looking over to see what music this soprano sang. And there was They Call Me Mimi and One Fine Day and other songs like this. And then I turned and I came on Softly Awakes My Heart, which is a contralto song, and one or two other things like the Habanera from Carmen and so on. And when this lady appeared, I said to her, I see that you sing soprano songs and contralto songs. And she said, oh, well, I don't usually, but you see, this week the contralto's on our holiday.
That's the stuff. Good. They Call Me Mimi. The second line I played was, but my name is Lucia. Dennis, the second line for you to identify.
Then, after dark in a hansom through the park.
And the title?
Is I'm Stepping Out of the Memory Tonight.
Oh, well, yes, full marks to you for that. Songs these days don't seem to have verses anymore. They just have choruses, if that. I'm going to play you on a record the verse of some old music hall song, sung in most cases by the star who made it famous, and then ask you to come in with a bar or two of the chorus. Okay? John, ready? Here's yours. Not, in your case, the original star, but a very big name in his day.
When Scotsmen meet the wide world o'er, the conversation turns to childhood days of old lang syne in the land of Robbie Burns. They drone old memories bitter, sing in a wee bit dram or twore, and you will always hear them sing before they gang the war.
Frank, say it louder, please.
Just a wee doch. Just a wee doch and Doris.
Just a wee yes. Your side got it, so you get the mark.
You could actually just as well go into Boiled Beef and Cow.
Yes, you could really, couldn't you? That's right. You knew it, didn't you, Ian? It was Whit Cunliffe. Recorded in 1911.
Another wit wiser.
Which is why the quality of the recording was not all that digital, was it? You've got the mark. Frank, Florrie Ford starts you off.
Now Antonio, he's gone away.
Thank you.
Let me.
Yes. I love it when she sings, "Her English was bad; it cannot be denied." Lovely line, her English.
That's to rhyme with cry. Yeah. The only reason.
Ian, your song is particularly appropriate.
I'm getting so tired of these comedy songs, I want to sing something divine. I'm sure and I'm certain to shine as a star in the opera line. I simply love Wagner, Mozart, and Puccini. Their music is really tip-top. So I'm going to change my name Blog to Bloggini and see if I can't get a shot.
What's the song?
I want to sing to opera. I've got that kind of voice. Oh, Mr. Caruso told me I ought to do so.
Yes, that's right. And the man who'd got that kind of voice was Wilkie Bard, recorded in 1910. Dennis, Mary Lloyd starts you off.
I'd rock a start as well as anyone. But start, you know, supposed to make your pet. Oh, and this really a lardy-dardy madam wouldn't dare to touch it, cos it might spoil her figure the finished yet.
Oh, I always on with having it if you fancy it.
Yes.
If you fancy it,
that's right. It does you good. Good. Mary Lloyd, recorded in 1915.
Fine philosophy.
Yes, yes. In an earlier edition of my music, I was talking about the two notes that an ambulance siren can play. And a lot of our supporters wrote in to mention that ambulances can, if they want to, play the song Music, Music, Music. And with the next line of the song providing what scientists call the Doppler effect, as the ambulance drives off into the distance, you hear... Michael Beale wrote to me from Stratton St. Margaret in Wiltshire to say that a young lady in the British Rail Office overlooking the Paddington to Bristol line used to wave to diesel drivers as they went by her window. Then, one day, one of the drivers found out that she was getting married. So as he drove by, he played in her honour... But it was a letter from Mrs. Mary Lilly of Bathgate, West Lothian, that I wanted to ask you for about. In one of our programmes, this is absolutely true, when Ian was singing his final solo, there was, she writes, a terrific explosion, and my heavy glass table lighter shattered into hundreds of fragments. Once heard of this with Caruso and with Ella Fitzgerald, but it's nice to know that Ian can do it as well. The question, of course, arises in the mind, which song was he singing to shatter something? What was it, a table lighter, a glass table lighter in that way? Any suggestions, John? What could Ian have been singing?
Stop. You're breaking my glass.
What can I do? What can I do? That's a good one, yeah. Frank, a thought. You're writing, I see.
There was a book published recently, a scholarly book, on the meaning of the word decadence, and the fact is it is frequently misused, and what is its true definition. And one could suggest that the definition of decadence is trying to think up a tune to fit Ian's voice shattering a glass table light. Anton Karas in Vienna was searching for a tune that he had to compose to for the Third Man film. And he was mucking around with his zither. And suddenly Ian sang, because he was singing in the opera, and Anton Karas's glass table light, I'd never heard of a glass table light, but shattered.
Yes.
And he said, he died, the lighter. Light to die, die, die. Light to die, die, die.
Good.
Light
good
to
heavens.
Die, 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 die.
I thought he's going to light do something brilliant with a Harry Lime theme.
Light to die, die.
I'm going to... It'll come in the end. I'm going to leave Ian till last, because he's the subject of this round. Dennis, what would Ian have sung to shatter this table lighter?
Well, what I put down is, as it's a table lighter, the table lighter might suddenly have come over all emotional if he'd heard Ian sing that song from Snow White. Ronson, I have but
Ian, do you want to know what it was, or would you like to have a guess at what it might have been?
Well, the only song I could think of to sing to a lighter would be I Get a Flick Out of You.
Well, I'll tell you, it was actually, because this really did happen, it was during the Coat song from La Bohème. There's an E-flat. You sing very loudly. Let's have a nice high E-flat. It's happened again.
All right.
By Jove, it's happened again.
I know it's usually high notes. If it had been many, many years ago that this happened, I would have thought it was the famous night when
you and I started The Fisherman of England, yes. Rather at the point where I was the top of my range before we began, yes. And I went in, yes. I went into orbit. I don't know whether it shattered a lamp. It certainly shattered me.
I was thinking the other day, if heaven forbid, somebody came screaming past my house saying, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming, and what would I clutch and take with me? And it would be my private recording at home of you and me doing The Fisherman of England. With the keys going up in steps, like the road up a mountainside. It was a marvellous moment there. You know. All four of the final songs we offer this week are connected in some way with activity, doing something or other, like searching for lambs, hiking, paddling, or just being merry. John's song, Searching for Lambs.
As I went out one May morning betime, I met a maid from home head straight, just as the sun did shine. I'm going to feed my father's flock, his young and tender lambs, that over hills and over dales lie waiting for their dams.
Lovely. Mm. Lovely. Mm. Yes. You could almost hear the mint sauce, couldn't you, in that? It's lovely.
Early motet of Art Tatum.
Tatum, Tatum, yes. Frank's song is one that Jack Payne used to sing. And if you don't know the name of Jack Payne, you probably won't know what hiking was either. I'm happy, Frank. I'm key.
That way lies disaster.
Oh, no.
Can you jack it up a note?
Yes.
I'm happy when I'm hiking off the beaten track. I'm happy when I'm hiking pack upon my back out in the open country, tramping all the way with a friend by my side. With a real good friend to the journey's end. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 yards a day.
It's very Georgian poets, that.
Yes. I mentioned Jack Payne. I happened to have the Jack Payne record when I was a mere tot. Dennis, whose record did you have of it?
Well, the man who introduced it was a chap called G.S. Melvin, so I'm just saving you those tempers.
Oh, thank you, yes. Melvin.
Wonderful wheat parted in the black, parted in the centre.
Right. Yeah.
Marvellous. Dennis, your turn. I don't know who introduced this, but you're going to finish it off now. Madeline Home.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because when I'm
paddling Madeline home, gee, when I'm paddling Madeline home, first I drift with the tide, then I pull for the shore. I hug her and kiss her, then paddle some more, then I keep paddling Madeline home until I find a spot where we're alone. She never says no, so I kiss her and go. Paddling Madeline, sweet, sweet Madeline, paddling Madeline, ho.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please draw your attention to my piano player and friend for many years, Steve?
I think you may have won anyway, but we'll see about that in a moment. Ian, we come to you finally for an old English song about the folly of being sad, even though the world is mad. A good, bold song in the good, bold song of B-flat major.
Right, so where are we?
Come, let's be merry, let's be airy. 'Tis a folly to be sad. Come, let's be merry, let's be airy. 'Tis a folly to be sad. For since the world's gone mad, 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 why alone should we be wise? And like dull fools, like dull fools gaze on other men's joys. If you have leisure, follow pleasure. Let not an hour of joy pass by. If you have leisure, follow pleasure. Let not an hour of joy pass by. For as the fleeting moments fly, time it will your youth decay. Then try to live, then try to live, then try to live and enjoy while you may.
Live and enjoy while you may, says Ian. It's a case of enjoy victory while you may, or in this case, enjoy a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.